Strongo here on the Garden City Coaches Show, where it's a busy night here. We just had defensive coordinator Chanel Jones. Thank you so much to Coach Jones for coming on. The Kansas City Chiefs are getting ready to kick off the opening game of the 2023 season, in the NFL against the Detroit Lions. We've got plenty of Chiefs fans here, so be sure to come out to Old Chicago tonight. A couple specials that we can tell you about later on in the show. But now we'd like to introduce head coach of men's and women's soccer here at Garden City, Corey Bryant, in his fourth season. How are you doing tonight, Coach?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for coming on. So, especially after a couple of crazy games yesterday, before we get too much individually to both teams, can I get your assessment of how both games played out yesterday against Stewart County?
How long do you have for that?
Okay.
We got results out of both games, so that's the positive that came from it. It didn't go the way we wanted it to go throughout. I mean, the girls struggled a lot in the first half to just find their footing, and that's something that, you know, we kind of spoke about prior to the game, and it was not a good start for them. But ultimately, you know, after the craziness that happened in that game, found a way to get the 3 points, and the boys were the same way. It was just struggle bus the entire first half, and you know, you make a few adjustments, and we were able to come back from the 2-goal deficit and end up with a draw in the game. So not the result we wanted for the guys, but rather than dropping 3 points, we get a point out of it, and we'll move on.
So the craziest thing in that game yesterday was obviously the triple red card that was shown in the early stages of the second half. I just asked you this. You haven't seen a game like that here, have you?
No. I mean, I've never, even in coaching here or wherever, I've never had a game where, you know, our team specifically had two players sent off. So let alone three players at one time be sent off between the two teams. Yeah, that's something I've never had coaching.
So let me ask this before I get too far into the game. Can you just give a testament to people listening tonight how challenging it is with not just one player down, but two players down, just to cover all that space?
Yeah, I mean, look at a basketball court. You know, that's something most people are familiar with. You know, you got 10 players on the floor, and it looks like, you know, you can cover the space, and there's still plenty of room to run around. Well, imagine taking, you know, two or three players off the floor, and there's still that space. It's like playing 3v3 full court. Like, it's just a tremendous amount of running that players have to do, and defensively, the amount of space that you've got to cover from sideline to sideline and from box to box, really, is just an abundance. It just seems like a wide open ocean out there at times.
I think you guys started the formation in a 3-5-2, three defenders, five midfielders, and two forwards. I think you ended the game, at least from what I saw, in like a 3-3-2.
Yeah, so when we lost the two players, we went to three backs, three midfielders, and two forwards. We had to try to get numbers forward somehow, so we had to sacrifice the back line a bit. And then when we got the third goal, we ended up moving a fourth defender back and playing four across the back and three in the midfield, just left one up front.
How much goes through your mind in a moment like that where you have to change formation so drastically?
Well, you're just kind of thinking, you know, what are we going to do? Like, what's the next step here? Where are we going to be able to expose them, you know, in this situation? Because at that point in time, we're you know, not only lose two players and you're switching formations and you're trying to figure out, you know, how you're going to attack out of this. You know, we're also down a player compared to them. So, you know, you're just trying to put the players in the best situation possible to expose where some of their weaknesses were. And that's, you know, up the middle was really where their weaknesses were. They put a lot of players on the outside that had some athleticism and some speed. So our idea was let's just overload the center part of the field and protect the center part of the field defensively. And then when we get the ball, we're just going to play down the middle and try to expose them with some of our athleticism.
So I think the biggest thing that you stressed me to start when I talked to you yesterday before the game was the team's work rate has really stood out.
Yeah.
Yesterday, two goals down, two players down with about 40 minutes to go. How much does that say about the work rate of this team?
And those girls, they knew from the second that it happened. They looked at me. We came over and talked for a quick second. And, you know, they had it in their eyes. They knew that this is something they wanted. I mean, coming out of half, they were motivated. We made some adjustments at halftime. And you saw in the first 5 minutes, you know, the adjustments were kind of working out. And then the incident happens, and we have to make all new adjustments again. And I think the girls took on the challenge well. I mean, we just spoke on their work rate. I mean, and how much ground they really did have to cover. It is amazing what the 10 or 11 girls that ended up coming in and off the bench during that amount of time, you know, the amount of ground they covered, the work rate they have, and just the energy that they were willing to put into it to try to make something happen. It's something that you don't see in every group of kids, and on the women's side, it sometimes can be discouraging for them when things don't go their way. And it's just a team that doesn't stop. They don't stop fighting. They don't quit. And it's been like that just about every game we've had.
So one thing that you did mention to me yesterday is you're used to having players that are willing to grit it out and play tough until the point where it gets too tough, and then you see their heads drop.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I mean, I couldn't picture a tougher situation to come back from. Yeah. I mean, two players down, and you need three goals to win it in less than 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's you say that to anybody else, and you tell anybody, any coach that in the country, and they're going to go, the percentages are heavily against you, right? And they are. Mm-hmm. They are. But it takes a group of kids that want to work, and a group of kids that are dedicated to the common goal. And each of them knew that. Like, this isn't a selfish moment. This isn't something where we can put our heads down. We put ourselves in this situation, so let's get ourselves out of it. And that's what they did.
One player I really have to ask about is Jessica. Jessica Newton got the comeback started yesterday, scored the first goal from the penalty spot, got the winner, I want to say 12, 13 minutes later after the first one. So 5 goals and 5 assists now for her in 8 games. How has she been able to make such a big impact as a freshman?
Yeah, the kid's just good, man. She comes over from England. She played in the Liverpool Academy in England. You know, she's not the most athletic kid on the field, but her ability on the ball, her soccer brain, her passing range, it's something that we just have never had. You know, a kid of that talent level to be able to step in and spray the ball like she does across the field and see some of the spacing that she can to play balls in. And then just her overall, like, she's another leader on the field. Like, she's a freshman. We, you know, named her captain after 2 weeks of being here just because of the leadership that she brought. You know, she's a special kid. She's a special player. And over her 2 years here, she's going to have a tremendous career.
To clarify, you said you've never had a 10 as good as her?
Not here, no. Not here, no.
Who is the best 10 that you've ever coached?
When I was an assistant at Hutch, we had a couple international girls that went on to play at some pretty high levels that were pretty tough to beat. Like, they were kids that we were getting some high quality level kids there.
So Shante Chacon is another player that I wanted to talk to you about. Interesting story. Came to you as a defender, moved up, started her at striker this season. I want to start there. What was the decision? You made the decision against Hutchinson to move her back to the back line.
Yeah.
Helped you keep a clean sheet in the game that, you know, normally is very tough for your team.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel that she's adjusted back from forward to defense?
The kids, that's where she plays. That's where she plays for the Belize national team. That's where she's comfortable at. The adjustment was simple for her. The idea behind it all was, you know, her athleticism, her speed, her quickness, you know, trying to take advantage of that in the attacking end and trying to find her in behind. But it didn't quite work out the way we wanted it to in the first couple of games. And, you know, going into the Hutch game, we're just like, look, you know, we know what she can bring back there for us. And I knew, you know, being an assistant with Hutch for 5 years, I kind of knew what direction they were going to go in their attacking ways. So it was a pretty simple decision to kind of put her back there and let her cover ground and let her you know, be that safety net for everybody, and that's exactly what she was. And we just haven't looked back. I think we're better with her back there. I think she strengthens our team when she's back there, and I think ultimately that's going to be the best position for her.
Okay, so she's playing with the Belize national team. You mentioned it to me the other day. She's going to go for CONCACAF pretty soon.
Yeah, she leaves on – she's actually going to miss – unfortunately, she's going to miss 3 games for us. She's going to be gone for almost 2 weeks in CONCACAF qualifying. She'll leave, I think, the 16th, I think, is when she leaves, yeah.
How many international players have you coached before her? And I mean players that represented their country when I say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, over the course of – here, Hutch, and we had a couple kids at VCU that played internationally, probably 4 or 5. Yeah.
How tough is it on these student athletes to handle not just playing for their school team, but their country, you know, that's a lot of responsibility while also handling, you know, classwork on top of that.
Yeah. And it's not something that's, you see a whole lot. You don't see a whole lot of kids leaving, you know, they're as 18 and 19 year olds going and playing, you know, at the national team level. So it's not something that we come across a whole lot, but it's something that they have passion for. And, you know, when she came and talked to me about it, you know, we just had the conversation. She's like, you know, they've asked me to go. I would like to go, and, you know, I'm going to miss these games, and I don't like the fact that I'm going to miss these games, but it's for my country. And so, you know, they understand the responsibilities that they still have back here, and the things that they have to take care of to stay eligible. So it's pretty much a no-brainer for them. You know, they get to represent their country. They get to play at a high level. And they know that stay eligible, the academic side has to stay on par. And our staff does a good job. Our academic staff does a great job working with kids like that.
Are there any other players that I haven't mentioned yet that were either on the pitch, on the bench, that made an impact yesterday to, you know, spark that win?
You know, I think the kid, just overall in the second half, I don't think we had one individual player that really, you know, other than the ones that you kind of spoke about, that just really stood out amongst everybody else. I think it was a group effort. I mean, every kid came in and did exactly what we asked them to do. They put in the effort that we asked them to put in. They did the tactical things we needed them to do. And ultimately, I think that's where our, you know, that strength kind of comes from, is everybody knew their role. Everybody that came on the field knew exactly what they had to accomplish if we wanted to do this.
So the women's team advances to 5-1-1 on the season. I know you told me the other day, I'll paraphrase, they say they're pushing above their weight so far this season. How much have they impressed you so far?
Well, when I say they're pushing, you know, I think they're a better group than we expected them to be. And I think when I say that, I think it comes from kind of that work rate and the determination. Like, you know, we haven't had a group like that. We knew we were going to have some talented kids, but we didn't realize you know, the mentality level, and you really don't until they get here and they start working. You know, that group just has the will to win and a will to fight, and that's, when I say that, that's kind of what I mean by that. It's mm-hmm. it's something that was unexpected, not happily welcomed, but unexpected, and it's something that you just, we can't replace that, and the start we've had have kind of shown that.
So to the men's side, your team showed some serious fight as well yesterday. Again, kind of same story. Two goals down at halftime.
Yeah.
Came back to draw at level. Couldn't quite get that winning goal. But overall, really good effort to come from behind in that one.
Yeah, you know, disappointing first half. You know, a team that we should have not got ourselves in that situation against. I mean, quite honestly, you know, it was Seward, no disrespect to them, they're not quite the level we are, and so we shouldn't have put ourselves in that situation, and we did it to ourselves, you know, giving away two penalties. You know, that's you're always going to put yourself in bad situations when you do that. And but we had a serious talk and talked on at halftime, you know, and kind of challenged the guys to step up, and they did. I mean, the second half we controlled the ball, we controlled possession, we got opportunity after opportunity. It was just not really challenging the goalkeeper. If you look, I think we challenged the goalkeeper maybe three times in the mm-hmm. second half, and we scored on two of them. And so that's kind of been the story of the year, and kind of something that you and I have talked about was, you know, trying to find those chances going forward and who's going to really step up and take those opportunities. And even last night, you know, we had a lot of chances that somebody could have kind of stepped up for us, and we didn't quite get where we wanted to, but ultimately, you know, the work rate in the second half and getting us back level, you know, we couldn't ask for more. I mean, the boys took the challenge and did what they could with it.
Let me ask this. You said it was a frustrating game. Yeah. You gave away the two penalties in the first half, and it kind of felt like Seward kind of sat back. Yeah. But your team, you know, kept the pressure on and were able to find those two goals. Did you like the way that your team responded to them kind of going from a little more open? I'm talking about Seward when I say this, a little more open in the first half to, you know, completely throwing 10 men behind the ball in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, we had to be creative in how we did things. And I think we moved the ball well. I think we shared the ball well. And the two goals, I mean, especially Haru's goal, the first one that was scored was some individual brilliance from him getting the ball on the wing and kind of beating a couple people off the dribble to hit the ball left foot. I mean, it's just in those situations, you've got to be creative. And I think, once again, the team stepped up to the challenge that we kind of issued them at halftime, and We knew they were going to sit in. That was something that I think was expected. And they knew that we were going to have to keep the ball and really be aggressive going forward to have any chance. And they did a good job with that.
Toshikuni got his third goal of the season last night. Another man who was on the score sheet was Jorge De La Vivora, who you mentioned to me was an attack midfielder when he came in. You're trying him a little more up top.
Yeah.
These last couple games. He's now scored it in his last two, but you know, the first half maybe didn't go the way he would have wanted. What did you make of his individual performance last night?
Yeah, he got his chances last night. I'm glad he finally got one. You know, it was a ball that kind of came through, kind of slipped through a defender and landed at his feet, and you know, that he had to finish it still, and he took his chance well. He had a few chances early in the game that maybe he probably wants back a little bit. But ultimately, those guys are judged on what they do, and if they're willing to put, if they can put the ball in the back of the net, and that's what he did. He, you know, one way or the other, he was able to get a goal for us, and that's what they're judged on.
The man who got the assist on that goal was Noel Williamson. I think that in the second half, a lot of your play was dictated between those fullbacks. Noel Williamson out left, Solo Litzel out right. How important were they yesterday?
Those guys are always important. Sinny's another one that comes in and does a good job when he's out on the wing. The way we play and how we want to play, we have to play through those wing backs out wide, and we have to spread the team defensively. And those guys, those two's athleticism and their ability to go forward and create opportunities for us in the attack is super important for what we want to do and how we want to play. And I think those two specifically, but like I said, when Sinny comes in, he doesn't, the level doesn't drop much when he comes in.
So this goes for both teams. Great second half efforts. Of course, the women's team got the win. The men's team came back to finish level. What's the key to continuing this momentum going into this weekend against Dodge City?
You know, we've just got to continue to fight. We've got to continue to have that confidence and that willingness to do whatever it is that we have to help the person standing next to us. You know, I think the girls are figuring that out, and I think it's showing in the results. I think it's showing in their team camaraderie. The guys still have a little bit to figure out there. You know, there's still some shaky moments. There's still some things that we're working on, but it's growing and it's getting better. And I think, you know, once they do, if they can really come together as a group, they're going to be a tough team to get through.
All right, so the Garden City soccer teams are both on the road this weekend. They head the 45-minute trip to the east, I believe, to take on Dodge City. Yeah, I got that right. Yeah, I got that right. Yeah. I know that. I just did the drive through Dodge, actually. I was just making sure. I'm always never that great with North, South, East, West. But anyways, they take on Dodge City this weekend on the road. They'll be back at home at Bronkbuster Stadium this coming Wednesday as they take on the Butler Grizzlies. That is soccer head coach Corey Bryant. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. Hey, best of luck this weekend. Cannot wait to see the action unfold next Wednesday against the Grizzlies.
Good. And I appreciate you having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Talk to you soon. We're going to take a short break here on the Garden City Coaches Show. When we come back, we'll have women's basketball new head coach Greg Franklin. We'll introduce yourselves to him. We'll be right back here on the Garden City Coaches Show, live from Old Chicago.